So we're going to be looking at Philippians chapter 4 specifically. And today, Advent, in case you haven't picked up on the theme, is about joy and about peace. And this one I was definitely looking forward to, specifically because we were getting to do a baby dedication, right? I mean, what greater joy is there than to celebrate this little baby? So, and we are rejoicing in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was born to us on Christmas Day. We are rejoicing in all of this. And so today is packed and filled with joy. I want to start us off with, from the book of Psalms, chapter 118, verse 24. It says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." And that's, if we could start off every single day like that, that'd be amazing, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be amazing if we just woke up and he did one of these? He said, "Oh, rejoice. Today is a day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to be glad in it." If you're like me, a lot of times I roll over and I go, "Ah, I don't want to do it," right? Like that's generally how I roll out of bed. But that's not what the Lord instructs us to do. He says, "This is the day that I have made. Rejoice. Be glad in it." The idea of being joyful is a tough one for some people, especially when you get to this time of year. This is one of the times of the years that is very difficult for a lot of people. And the reason is because we've all suffered loss in our lives. We all have loved ones that we miss. We have different situations that have gone on in our lives that maybe there's trials or strife. There's sometimes you want to gather with your family, but maybe your family situation really isn't the greatest. Maybe it's not the best. Maybe you don't get along, that sort of thing. And so Christmas time, a lot of times, is a very stressful time of year. Is anybody else a little bit stressed at Christmas? Can we just be honest? Like, it's stressful. I mean, TJ, look, the newlyweds went like this. Isn't that cute? Just give it time. No, I'm just teasing. I hope that you're always like on the, "No, it's great," side of things. I don't know. I'm not going to tell you like, "Oh, it gets worse from here." It doesn't get worse from here. It's amazing. What are you talking about? TJ said, "Uh-huh." But it can be tough for a lot of people. However, we are still called to rejoice, aren't we? We're still called to have joy. And the truth is that we can have joy. Even in our trials, we can have joy. When we suffer, we can have joy. Like the disciples proved this to us. The apostles, like, they would get arrested, and they would go to prison, and they'd be chained against the walls, and they'd be like, and it wasn't like prisons today. Like, you know, they cry if they ain't got a weightlifting machine and cable TV. Like back then, you had rats and stuff running across your feet, and it was horrible, and the conditions were terrible. And he was like, "Hey, where's the latrine?" And you're like, "The latrine is right where you stand." And, you know, and it was like you just didn't get to have all the commodities that prisoners have today. And yet there they stood singing praise to the Lord because they said, "My Lord Jesus Christ suffered and died on a cross for me." And they said, "And because we spoke his name, we get to have the same treatment as him." And they said, "Praise God for that." Isn't that weird? Isn't that weird that they rejoiced in the suffering in the name of Jesus Christ? I don't rejoice in suffering. Can we just be honest? How many of us rejoice in suffering? It's not something that I see a lot of hands go up for. But the truth is that in everything, we can have joy. In everything. And that's the reason I want to take us to Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand." And here's something great. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now listen, this is a verse that tells us what to do. We oftentimes say, you know, I just wish there was an instruction manual that would help me get through whatever it is that I'm facing. Like here's this hardship, here's this trial. But we have it. Actually, this entire book is your instruction manual of life. It gives us everything that we need. It's our moral compass. It's what brings us closer to the Lord so that we can know what does He think, what does He want, what does He desire. We've got it all right here. It's all laid out for us. And He begins it off with, rejoice in the Lord always. It doesn't say, rejoice in the Lord sometimes. Rejoice in the Lord when you wake up without aches and pains. Rejoice in the Lord when you have a great job and it's going really well. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Why? Why would we say, rejoice in the Lord always? Because the Lord is always good. Always. There's never a time that He's not. He is good. He is righteous. He is perfect. He is holy. He is everything that can be perfect. He is perfection. And He is the only person who can ever bring us true satisfaction. The Lord is the only person I've ever been truly satisfied in because He's never let me down. Ever. I can't think of one single time that I can truly say it was God's fault for anything. Can you really stop and think, well, it was God's fault that this happened? I lost my job one time at Christmas. The plant that I worked in shut down completely. We walked in that morning at 6 a.m. expecting to go to our jobs on the line. I was a welder. I was a spot welder. I wasn't like a welder, but still, it was hard work. And I was expecting to go in and take my spot, take my place, earn my pay. And instead, they said, hey, welcome this morning. Follow me in single file line. And they lined our entire company up. They were trailed outside the door, way out into the parking lot. And we walked in, went straight to HR's office, and they handed us a check. And they said, we're really sorry, but today is your last day. Don't go inside the plant. You're to leave the parking lot and the premises and don't ever come back. And I thought, as a newlywed, just bought a home, it was only $55,000, but it might as well have been $1 million back then. And I thought, what are we going to do? Now, I was weak in my faith. Actually, I had no faith, to be honest. And my wife said, we're going to be fine. It's going to be fine. She always believed and trusted in the Lord. She's always said, she said, I just have this childlike faith. And I've watched it over the years, how she has expressed this childlike faith, where she just says, the Lord is going to take care of this situation. Now, was it to say that she wasn't worried? No, she was. We were terrified. We were expecting like bread and water for every meal. We had nothing. And yet, somehow, and I know now, the Lord opened a door for me that I wouldn't have achieved or had the opportunity for had I continued to work in that place. He opened a door to send me to a school for 12 weeks. I went and learned about computers. And I learned, I didn't know the first thing. They taught me how to turn it on. Like literally, I didn't know the first thing. And for 12 weeks, I learned. And then I took a test, and I failed it. And I thought, here we go. The Lord said, you need to go take it again. And my wife, standing right there, said, it's going to be fine. You're going to do fine. Don't worry about it. You're panicking. It's going to be fine. The Lord's got this thing. And I passed. And then I went and got a job. And that job paid better than I had at the plant that I worked at. And then I got a job a week later that paid better than the first job. And then I got another job that paid even better than the second job. And then I stayed at that job because I thought it was going to look bad if I keep going. And then I stayed at that company for about 8 years. Learned so much more. For about 30 years now, almost, I've worked in computers and done something, and the Lord has blessed me with more than I could ever have imagined. And it all started with me walking into a place that I thought, this is it. This is where I'm going to be for the next however many years. Maybe retire from. And I walked in and I was given a goodbye. See, our lives can have devastation in them if we let it. We are in control of some things, right? The Lord gave us this thing called free will. We have the free will to choose and believe by faith in Him that He is watching out for us and for our good. So when I look at a verse like Philippians chapter 4 here, and it says, rejoice in the Lord always. That day that I got fired, let go at Christmas, where we probably spent too much on each other and didn't really have it to begin with, but I did it anyway, I wasn't rejoicing. And I've learned a great lesson since then, a great hard lesson since then, to believe with faith like my wife, where she says, the Lord's got this, He's watching out for us, He will supply. Now, it's not to say that we go into things blindly. We don't. God gave us a brain for a reason. We do think things out. I don't just go in and say, all right, God, you know, drop $1 million in my lap. Like, that's not how this thing works. But what I can tell you is that when we lean upon Him and we trust in Him by faith, He supplies. And we can lose that anxiousness that comes upon us. Just like it says here, the Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything it says, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So what are you asking for today? Are you trusting in the Lord for your needs today? And here's the real kicker to it. Are you trusting in the Lord for what you need today? It doesn't say asking for what you want, because He knows what you need. And there's a difference. The Lord will supply for your needs. He will meet you where you are. He will take care of you. But it doesn't mean that you're going to have fancy cars, big giant mansions to live in, tons of rich friends that will just bestow upon you just gift after gift after gift. No. It means that He will care for you and provide for you. And He will meet you in your need. So it tells us, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus when we approach Him in this way. It says in verse 8, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, it says, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things, about what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. It says to trust. And in everything that you've learned, everything that you read, everything, Paul here is leading us in a way that he's being this example for us. Paul oftentimes was in prison, spent a good portion of his life in prison, and he praised God for it constantly. He loved the fact that he was suffering for the Lord Jesus. He loved it. And his joy was expressed in a way that other people, other churches, other places were encouraged by him being in prison. And they grew from that knowledge. So when we see a verse like in the book of James, the first chapter, second verse, it says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. We can find ourselves doing one of two things, either trusting in the Lord and reveling in the joy that He has supplied for us and given us, or we can not pay attention to Him. We can cast Him away. We can turn our backs on Him and say, no, I'm going to do it my way. I'm not going to do it your way. I'm not going to surrender to the blessings that you're going to bestow upon me. James says, count it all joy. There are things that we face in our lives that are tough, and then there's these joyous occasions. We have loved ones who have passed and went on that many a time, if you stop and you really think about that person, your heart is filled with joy. Every day I think of my dad. Every day. And I'm just filled with good memories, good thoughts, things that he taught me, sayings that he would say, and it brings us joy, and we talk about him all the time. And I find joy in that, even though he's gone, and even though that pain exists, even though the hurt is there, I find joy in the situation. You see, the disciples, when Jesus died on that cross, and he was buried for the 3 days, they struggled to find their joy. They struggled to find it. They thought, he's gone. He's gone. Like this was, I guess this was the end of the road. You see, they had forgotten the teachings that he had brought them. He had been preparing them all along the way, telling them, I'm going to go, but I'm going to come back. He was telling them that. He was trying his best to reassure them, to give them this message of hope. And yet, when they found themselves going through this hardship, they struggled. So if you find yourself struggling today, know that you're amongst really, really good company. That even the disciples struggled. And here's the thing, we oftentimes want to put them up on a pedestal, don't we? Oftentimes we want to say, well, Matthew and Peter and Paul and John and all these, like, oh man, like it would have been, they were people just like you and I. They were no different than you and I. I'm a pastor. I'm no different than anybody else. People love putting pastors up on a pedestal. They love it. They just want to take and lift us up so high and hold us in this great regard that I don't do anything wrong. I must be perfect. And that our family life at home is amazing. Come and spend the day with the Nappers and find out for yourself. Man, I'll tell you right now, there is not a cape waving behind this fella. That cape was ripped off a long time ago. Like when Sierra was colic for 6 months of her life, you know, the first 6 months ever. Like, you talk about somebody about to lose their mind. It was Sean and I. Our home is not perfect. We go through trials. We go through struggles. We yell at each other. We fight. It's true. I probably just broke some people's hearts. I don't know. Like you all just think we go home and we eat bonbons. We probably feed them to each other. Like, ooh, here's another one. You know, like, I wish that joy existed there. But you know what? We have something that a lot of families around the world don't have. We have the joy of the Lord in our hearts. We have a joy of the Lord knowing of what he has done for us. We know of his birth. We have read about and believed in his death. And we realize about his resurrection. And praise God for that. You see, when you have that as part of your family, nothing else matters. You have the Lord in your house. You are believing in him, and there is joy to be had from that. So while we go through trials, while we go through struggles, while, yes, I am upset about my dad not being here, while I am upset about all the stress of Christmas and how commercialized it is, while I'm stressed about all these many things, like I've got to work another job, and then I got to prepare for Sundays, and we got to do all that. I'm like, guess what? All of that disappears when I get to praise the Lord Jesus. When I am here, standing here, and preaching, yes, give him a... Listen, we have to be excited about what he's done for us, don't we? You see, there's joy to be had because we get to follow in a living God. I belong to him. It means I have a kingdom waiting for me. I may not be rich here on earth, but boy, am I rich in other ways. I have things that nobody else has because I have the Holy Spirit living inside me. I have joy to give today, and I am excited about the joy today because of what Christ has done for me. We can all feel that. It's not just the pastor that gets to have that excitement. It's not just the worship team that gets to come up here and raise their hand and worship and praise. You know, We all get to have that. It's whether or not we're allowing ourselves to be filled with the joy of the Lord. We just celebrated a baby dedication today. Two adults, parents, who have admitted before you and proclaimed that they want to raise their daughter in the knowledge of Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. That is to be celebrated today. That is to be joyful about today. The Lord continues to work and move. He's not a God who is dead. He is a God who is alive, and He's continuing to do works and miracles here today. And we've even heard it through the mouth of June proclaiming about Earl getting to go home. Like, He is at work. Do you realize that? And He's at work in your life. And the joy that you can have is the joy of receiving Him, especially if you've never known Him for the first time in your life ever. If you don't know Him, you can accept Him in your heart today, and then you can go, wow, I know what that preacher's talking about now. Now I get to see why he's so excited. Now I get to understand, like, why is he going crazy up there? Because I am filled with the Holy Spirit. He lives in me. And I don't have a choice but to let that out, because if I try to contain the power of the Holy Spirit, you people would be in trouble. I've got to let it out. You can't contain it. Galatians chapter 5 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. That's a tough one. Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. It says that's the fruit of the Spirit. We get to have that. You get to own that. I'm not going to tell you you're going to own cars, you're going to own houses, maybe like some of the TV preachers, but I'm going to tell you you're going to own love and joy and peace and comfort. Isn't that better than a car? To be able to wake up and to roll out of bed, and instead of saying, oh, you're going to go, praise God. Now, I still do that. I'm not going to lie. But listen, it just... In Luke chapter 15 says, just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God. Get this. It says there is joy over before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Just one. And today, as we did that baby dedication, and little Eliana is up here and just being so cute as a button. And we have Donnie and Angelique who have committed and made this covenant before the Lord, before this church, to raise her up. The angels of the Lord are rejoicing today. And when one, just one, I remember a few years back we were doing the Tree of Life. And they did this invitational at the end. All the people were stacked up in the tree and they were singing their songs, and there was a pastor that got up and did a little message at the end and everything, and it was great. But they did an invitational at the end. They said, if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, if you've not experienced His joy, His passion, His love for you, please come and talk to the pastor. And there was one person who had the courage to get up and approach. And that one person made that entire event worthwhile. There was like six shows they put on. Six shows over a three-day period. All the work, all the effort, everything that was poured into that, it was all made worthwhile because of one. Because of one. And that one was so precious to the Lord that He said, I'm going to leave the 99 that I have to go seek after the one who was lost and to bring them to the knowledge of who I am, which is their Lord and their Savior and the only one who could bring them to salvation. And that day, that one singular person's life changed and transformed forever. You see, just one is enough. Just one is enough. So it says there, like I said, Luke 15, says, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over just one sinner who repents. Now the last place that I'm going to take you today, we're going to close, is 1 Peter chapter 1. And this one here is if you've not experienced the joy of the Lord, if you've not experienced the joy of the Lord, hopefully this one is going to touch you in a way that you're going to understand. It says, though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not see him now, you believe in him and you rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith and the salvation of your soul. You see, if you don't know the joy of the Lord today, if you have never confessed yourself to the Lord, if you've not accepted the grace that has been freely given, well, it cost Jesus, but it didn't cost you anything. There was a price to pay, but he paid it. He paid it all. It's what the song sings, that we, you know, Jesus paid it all, right? I'm not going to sing it because I'm terrible. Jesus took care of all the details. All you have to do is say yes. That's it. It sounds like it's way too simple. It sounds like there's a catch, right? It's a sales pitch or something. But it's not. You can have joy that is inexpressible by just accepting Jesus Christ into your life. And it says that the Holy Spirit is at work. I can't see him, but I can feel him. I don't hear him audibly, but he speaks to my heart. And when he calls for me to move, I know it. So if there's any of you here today that don't know the joy of the Lord that way, if you don't know the joy of the Lord that way, are you hearing him? Can you see him at work? Are you feeling him tugging at your heart today? And if that's the case, I'm going to invite you to come forward. If that's the case, I'm going to step down here down front. We're going to come together as the worship team. We're going to sing a final song, and I'm going to ask you to come forward in faith with the encouragement of the Lord, of the Holy Spirit that is walking with you. If you just need to rededicate your life to Christ because you feel like maybe you've walked away and that you know what, I just need to make myself right with him again, I'm going to ask you to come forward. If you have a care or a concern that is so huge, weighing you down where you have trouble feeling the joy of the Lord, I'm going to ask you to come forward because this altar, while it doesn't have magical powers, is a place that you can come. It's a safe place. It's where many a sinner have come. It's where many have come to beg for forgiveness. It's where many have come to drop the cares of their lives and lay them at the feet of Jesus Christ, who can handle all of your troubles. So I'm going to ask you to come. The question is, will you respond? Will you move if you feel the Holy Spirit moving you that way? I think sometimes we feel the Holy Spirit moving, but I'm worried to move because of what the guy or the woman next to me is going to think. I'm going to look flawed. Satan holding you back. And Satan will steal your joy. He'll steal your joy every single second of the day if you allow it. But today is the day that the Lord's made. Amen? Today is the day that the Lord has made, and it says we're going to rejoice in it and we're going to be glad. So today we're going to give the day back over to the Lord. And we are going to celebrate and rejoice in him. And so if you feel him moving in your heart, come. Don't let anyone hold you back. Don't let anything hold you back. Those doors aren't magical. They don't keep Satan out. They're not Satan-proof. But he will come in here and he will steal your joy if you let him. Don't let him do it. There's nothing magical about this building. I'm not some fantastical preacher, that's a real word, that can save you because I can't. But I can pray with you. And as a church, we can all pray with you. And as a church, we can love you, not as well as Jesus can love you, but we will love you and we will not look upon you in any way other than with love and care and concern. The only person that will hold you back today is Satan himself. Don't let him win. Because I can tell you, he loses. Jesus already has the victory. So we're going to pray. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward, and we're going to sing this final song. I can't encourage you any more than I already have. I'll just be repeating myself at this point. You know what the Lord is asking you to do. You feel it in your heart. If you have troubles, you have concerns, you have anything at all, come forward now and lay those at the feet of Jesus. If you would, stand as we get ready to sing.